Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
The lucky parts of the game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby? No, it's Joe, baby. Joe Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's not the pregame show. That was supposed to be an hour ago, but I'm filling in today. Joe Shasky. Morning roast, baby. We got Thanksgiving tomorrow. We got Warriors Thunder tonight. We got a lot happening right now. We got Brock Purdy. His arm might be falling off. They're going to be playing in a snowstorm. Blake Snell? What the hell? He's going to the Dodgers? Joey, there's a lot happening right now.
There is, and I'm going to start off the day by having a lot of fun. This is going to be a non-sports opinion presented like a sports take that you would see all throughout the internet. You ready for it?
Sure.
Christmas is overrated. I think Thanksgiving is the best holiday. I think it is the number one spot on the holiday calendar, and I'll tell you why. Every single year, it's on a Thursday. I know exactly when it is. I get half a work week, for the most part, okay? I get to see all my family, and I don't have to buy them gifts. I get to go to someone else's house, sometimes, and bring home leftovers. I guarantee I get Friday off. I guarantee I get Saturday off. I guarantee I get Sunday off. And it's football all weekend long. I get price reduction on things I want to buy because of Black Friday. Christmas, on the other hand, I got to buy a tree. I got to buy gifts. I got to feel the guilt of getting my wife something that's unique and thoughtful and something she doesn't currently own that fits her without insulting her. And it has to be stylistic and it has to be nice and new and fresh.
Never buy clothes for women.
I'm just saying, it could be fashion, whatever it is. Okay, I have to buy other family members things. And then there's this whole song and dance on, well, like, who else do we need to buy for? Look, I love Christmas. Don't get me wrong. I'm here for the nostalgia of it. But it is expensive. You know, Valentine's Day, throw that out the window. It's the most expensive holiday of the year. I hate it. Thanksgiving, turkey, underrated. Now, when Dungeness crab's available, I throw crab on my table. Love me some crab. It's the beginning of the holiday season. It kicks things off. I know there's a short period of time where we all get to kind of middle it into December. Thanksgiving is the number one holiday on the sports calendar.
You feel better about that? You feel good?
I'm so glad I got that off my chest.
Thanksgiving, it's solid. I like it. You get football all day, especially sports talk radio. We love it. We have two good games. I mean, we might see Tommy DeVito versus Trey Lance. If Trey Lance plays, I will be interested in that game. So maybe he should play over Cooper Rush, who's injured right now. But you got Dan Campbell. You got Eberflus, who's going to be gone.
Yeah.
So we got Lions-Bears to start it off. Which, when's the last time the Lions game was actually the best game on the slate, maybe?
I can't remember. Last year against Green Bay was fun.
That's true, and Jordan Love lit it up last year,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was fun, but it wasn't as anticipated as maybe this one.
Correct. So this is going to be huge. Caleb Williams, who I thought has actually looked pretty good the last 2 weeks, has nothing to show for it. He's been playing a lot better. And then you got, at night, you got Tua and the Dolphins going up to Lambeau Field, taking on, again, aforementioned Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs, but it's Christmas, bro. It's always Christmas. Come on.
But let's get back to this.
There's no Thanksgiving songs to get you in the spirit.
You're literally playing
Christmas music during Thanksgiving because we're anticipating the next holiday after this one. We're already looking past Thanksgiving, Joe Shasky. And real quick, shout out to those watching on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. So good morning to all of you there. And if you're listening on the free Odyssey app, download that bad boy.
I'm not done. I believe that Wednesday night leading up into Thanksgiving in your 20s is the greatest drinking night of the year. It's not St. Patrick's Day. It's not. Seeing all your friends and seeing all the people from the past and either stunting on them because of your success or, you know, being the exact same, you know, douchebag that you were 5 years prior and just not doing anything. Like, what are you up to? I'm living at home, doing nothing. Like, it is one of the great nights of the year, maybe reconnecting with an old love from high school. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. We all go out on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, and we go get sloshed, and we hang out with a bunch of people we either love, hate, or don't want to see. But yet, we do it every single time. I'm telling you, Thanksgiving is power ranked number one. It's the most underrated holiday. It's the best holiday. And, you know, my life on the line, I like to play that game. Life on the line, I'm going with Thanksgiving.
That's fine. You could be wrong at that. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll be talking Thanksgiving. We'll be talking to Anthony Slater at 8:30. And I'm going to tell you, Joe Shasky, I got to tell you, I got very concerned yesterday from the Anthony Slater tweet. R957 The Game.
What'd he say?
Warriors insider and covers the team for The Athletic. Steph Curry, this is what he tweeted yesterday, Anthony Slater, our guy. Steph Curry's questionable against the Thunder tonight, listed as, stop me if you've heard this word before, bilateral.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Bilateral, and I'm going to try to pronounce this as best as possible, patellofemoral pain. Bilateral patellofemoral pain. Patella soreness in both knees. Kuminga also questionable with the illness that has forced him out the last two games. I thought I heard the last of the bilateral thing. The first time I've ever even heard of the word is with Christian McCaffrey and his bilateral Achilles tendonitis. Now we got it with Steph Curry with his sore knees. I'm a little concerned. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, you could have just put, he's older. Like, you know what I mean? Like, isn't that kind of just what it is? He's just got sore knees. He's an old man.
Yeah, but I don't hear that word with LeBron James, who's almost 40.
Well, LeBron's on HGH. It's a totally different conversation. I mean, come on.
That didn't scare you a little bit?
Well, of course. But, like, I also know that they also have to come up with specific injuries throughout the year to give him dedicated time off so that you avoid the fine from Adam Silver. So I think that when you're this specific on something, to me, it's just a predetermined night off.
All right. You think he's not going to play tonight?
I don't know. Like, I think they're setting it up for one of these moot point games coming up for him to take a day off.
It's been weird the last couple of games. Like, him playing 29 minutes in that loss when he had an 18-point lead, like, that just didn't make sense to me. You're, like, resting these guys, but now he's going to be out tonight.
I mean, you don't think he's going to play all 82 games, do you?
Well, no, I don't. But what was the point of resting him for 29 minutes if you're not going to play him tonight? Like, right? Like,
well, maybe
there was method to that madness, I would assume. You didn't want to play him all those minutes. You end up losing the game. Like, I don't think this team, and I get it, they're one of the best teams in the Western Conference. It's early in the season, but it's going to start getting heavy here for this squad coming up. I'm not going to say had a cupcake schedule, but they played, you know, a relatively easy schedule early on this year. When they played Oklahoma City, they didn't have Chet Holmgren. When they played the Celtics, they didn't have
Jaylen Brown.
Like, they're going to need Steph in a lot of these games is what I'm saying. I don't think this team,
Spadani,
especially the depth-wise,
look, absolutely they're going to need Steph.
Buddy coming back down to earth?
No one is going to argue otherwise. But you also have to understand it's November 27th, and we've got to April to you know, get ready for the playoffs and hopefully get into the playoffs and all that. So you do have to pick your spots on the calendar. And now he just might legitimately be dealing with something right now. I mean, he already got hurt earlier this year with the ankle. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was legitimately injured or if this was just a legitimate tactic for them to figure out a way to get him a night off, whether it's this game or the next game or whatever, so that when they get that day off, the league doesn't come down on them like, oh, they're resting. Because, you know, you see what's going on with Joel Embiid and everything right now with Dumpster Philadelphia. Fire. They're getting hammered for resting guys.
So we got that injury we're dealing with. We've already been dealing with a plethora of injuries for the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, you can name any single.
Bosa, Purdy, Trent, Warner, Ayuk, Debo's hurt even a little. I mean, like, just go right down the
Hargrave,
list.
Hargrave, Hufanga, Banks. Dre Greenlaw, who's coming back. His practice window's open, but probably not going to be back this week. We'll
49er
see.
Fans, psyche.
Everything, right? You might be injured. I don't even know.
Well, my soul has been crushed by the Niners as of recent.
Really?
Yeah, it's just sad. I'm just sad. They make me sad.
They're only a game out of first place.
Oh, yeah.
You have no faith that they can right the ship here? None? Zero zilch? What if Brock Purdy comes back? What if Brock Purdy and the 49ers win this Sunday night against Buffalo, one of the best teams, if not the best in the NFL, And Brock Purdy looks good. He has a game-winning drive. Does that change your psyche?
I feel like
at all?
Such a hater this morning. Like, I don't see that happening. I see Josh Allen.
I didn't ask if you saw it happening. Would that change your psyche?
Of course it would, okay. But I can't. Like, I also have to use common sense. And at what point in the last month has this Niner team played a good football game?
Well, they haven't beaten a team that's good. That's the problem.
I don't know. I don't disagree. But I'm just saying, like, what good game have they played this year?
Probably the
Pats,
the Jets game week one.
All right,
but they didn't
do
even
think highly of the like Jets. Of 2 months later,
no, the Jets are one of the worst teams.
And
in the
I
NFL.
Agree.
Yeah,
Patriots one of the worst teams.
And
in
at
the NFL.
Time, it felt like a signature win.
Yes,
and now as I retcon it, looking backwards, I'm like, no, I think they're a dumpster
Your
fire.
Best win of the year was against the Seahawks on Thursday Night Football.
Okay,
and the Seahawks all of a sudden probably look better than you at this point, having they just beat you and they just beat the Cardinals. So that's probably it. But at the time, the Seahawks kind of stunk.
They
so
did.
So it's like. I don't know what to make of this 49ers team right now. I just don't think they're very good. I'll say this, though, and I said it a couple weeks ago. I've been saying it. The expectations right now are not Super Bowl for the 49ers. If they win the division this year, however that happens, I think it would be a successful season given all that's happened. I think you can make the argument it's one of the more impressive jobs if they win this division for Kyle Shanahan and this coaching staff. But we can get into that as the show goes on. 888-957-9570. Anthony Slater, 830. Stu Gotts from the Dan Le Batard Show, potentially 920, John Wiener, Stu Gotts.
I love Stu Gotts.
He's been coming up with his best Jewish nicknames in sports right now, and it's all time. When it comes to basketball, when it comes to the NFL, I want to pick his brain on that. He also has a new book that he's recently released, so we'll get into that as well. 920, Stu Gotts, so can't wait for that. And as you know, Joe Shasky, all guests on 95.7 The Game, appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? And good morning to all of you just getting off work, getting ready for work. If you still got school, if you're doing online classes, courses, midterms, what have you, good morning to all of you. And again, 888-957-9570. Hit us up there. Call or text the Comcast Business Text Line.
Spadoni, I know we got a lot of Niner stuff that we're going to get into today. And I know we're going to talk a little Warriors and whatnot. Can we talk a little baseball?
Please.
I'm a big believer in being realistic with yourself. Self-awareness, I believe, is the most underrated skill in any walk of life. Knowing who you are and where you are in your life is going to dictate a lot of smart decisions or horrific decisions that you make. Case in point, E40 has a line. Don't buy an $80,000 car before you buy a house, right? It's something that I live by. It really is. One of the things my wife and I did for a long, long time, and everyone has their own prerogatives, but in terms of money management, we said, hey, we are not going to go on extravagant trips. We're not going to go anywhere. We're not going to buy big vehicles, you know, luxurious outfits and things like that. We wanted to save up for a house. And it took a long, 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 long time. And I watched a lot of other people who were my friends and stuff go overseas, go here, go there. And they got great experiences. And I'm not mad at them for that. But my prerogative was I want to be able to own a home, right? And I knew how expensive and how difficult it was going to be because we didn't have family money to just co-sign or give us a chunk of dough to go buy something.
Sure.
And so we bought our home and we've kind of chipped away, right? We were self-aware, knowing where we wanted to be in life 5 years, 10 years down the road. It's applicable to the San Francisco Giants situation. I tweeted out on 7/22 and I said it on the airways the next day on 7/23, which was July, leading into the trade deadline. This team is not a playoff team. They have certain assets. They need to be self-aware. They need to be realistic, okay? You have to look long-term. You were fourth place in the division. You were chasing five teams in the wild card. You are not going to go on a run. You went through the rotation one time with Robbie Ray returning, with Blake Snell, with Birdsong, with Harrison, and Logan Webb. And you thought you had the best rotation in baseball and that you were going to magically go on a run that we all knew was unrealistic. But you had an asset in Blake Snell, a left-handed starting pitcher who was dominant during this stretch. And instead of moving that guy at the deadline for anything, you just lost him to the Los Angeles Dodgers in free agency for nothing. Now, he could sign with the Dodgers, and we'll get into that in a second. But I said on that day, the week before the deadline, You need to get something for Blake Snell. In a normal situation, when you lose a free agent, you get a second or third round conditional pick. Some sort of a qualifying offer pick. But in that situation, when you sign Matt Chapman and when you sign Blake Snell in the previous offseason, you lost your second and third round pick. You were not going to get a qualifying offer if he left you. So it behooved you to get something, anything, a low-level prospect, something for him. It's asset management. The handful of starts you were going to have in September from him were going to be not memorable, and they weren't going to net you anything for 2025 and beyond, which is when you really were trying to contend, right? Right now, you're not. 2024, you were not a contender. Just be realistic. They didn't trade Blake Snell. He started a couple of games, wouldn't even take the ball in the final week of the season, all right? And then he left in free agency to your rival, and you get nothing out of it. The worst asset management has happened over the last 4 or 5 years, and thank God Farhan's gone. But for the life of me, it made no sense to not trade Blake Snell at the deadline.
Signs a 5-year, $182 million deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And listen, I was watching him last year in that second half, and I was like, why doesn't a team like the Yankees, and I'm sure they feel stupid, but so many teams are kicking themselves for not trading for that guy because he could have been the difference. If the Yankees had Blake Snell, who knows? Maybe they do win the World Series. Maybe something does change. Now that doesn't change their defense and how porous that was behind Gerrit Cole in that final game of that series. But to your point, not getting anything back for him, and we were talking about that all summer ad nauseum. I know Bonte was in here. Don't sell Snell. That's when he started coining that when I was filling in for you. I thought it was silly then. I'm not ragging on Bonte. Like, there are a lot of fans that felt like, hey, if we keep him, maybe we could re-sign him. But just judging where this team was going, why would Blake Snell want to re-sign here? Like, why would he do that? I understand Robbie Ray opting back into his contract. He's rehabbing. He's a former Cy Young winner, but he needs that security for next season. And then next season is going to be his other Blake Snell kind of a year, right? So maybe Buster Posey learns from this mistake. And then next trade deadline, right? If Robbie Ray's doing the same thing, maybe they flip him for a couple prospects. But I just, for the life of me, there is no way. And Farhan talked about this during the summer. He was saying, like, yeah, you know, we weren't blown away by anything. Well, I'm still probably giving the Yankees something. Like, give me something from the Yankees. Give me something from, I don't know, whoever else was out there. The Orioles. Someone was trying to trade for him. A couple. You couldn't get a couple of prospects for Blake Snell. If they're double A, if they're single A, I don't know. It didn't make sense.
Something is better than nothing. And I was pounding the table. He's the most coveted, you know, starter on the market. Hands down, it was not even a question. And he's dominant when he's on. But again,
he was having the best stretch of any pitcher last year.
No doubt. And he's
outside
a lefty.
Outside of Chris Sale and Paul Skeens.
And this is exactly what Farhan said the day after the trade deadline. Farhan on the decision not to trade Blake Snell. I think trading him would have changed the course of the season where we still believe in what we can accomplish. It was really going to have to be something that would change the course of the future here. See, Farhan, this is why you're gone, buddy. Like, you had to see beyond the forest a little here. You got to look down the road, all right? You were not making the playoffs after one turn around the rotation thinking that that's what you were. It was so foolish. And here's the other part. The Giants could have easily signed him. I even put it out there. I said on these airwaves, give him $200 million over 5 years. Oh, it's too risk averse. It's like, yeah, I know it's baked in with risk, but he's going to go to somebody that's going to hurt you if you don't sign him. You lost him for nothing, and he went to your rival. Well, congratulations. Let's all remember and cling to those three starts in September. Thank God you kept Snell. Do you remember him? I'm a diehard Giants fan. Do you remember him? No. Do you remember him? No. How about you, Sam Lubman? Do you remember any of those starts in September from Blake Snell?
Blake Snell started in September?
Exactly.
Hey, he had a complete game. Didn't he have like a no-hitter, too?
Oh, yeah. 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 We'll never. Look,
let's raise the banner for it.
The other station does this day in Giants history. No one will ever reference one of the September starts from Blake Snell. You should have traded him. So dumb.
It's like that 1 year with John Lester in the A's for the couple months, right? And he didn't throw it first. I'm still hurt by it. 888-957-9570. Are you as upset as Joe Shasky about this move? And it's not even that he's going to the Dodgers, right? It's just that you didn't get anything for Blake Snell. Well, I'll say this. It's probably because he's going to the Dodgers, too. Like, come on. He's a Padre. He's a Dodger now. Hey, he's just a Rocky stop and a Diamondback stop to be
he's
a MLS leader.
But the Giants could have signed him. That's the other thing. Like, nothing was holding the Giants back from giving him $200 million. Clearly, he's a mercenary, and he was going to go wherever the most money was.
Well, there was always something weird with him in the front office. The whole thing was kind of odd. I don't think he ever had the intention of coming back here, too. That was another part of it. We can get to it on the other side, 888-957-9570. We also got a special giveaway today, Joe Shasky, in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm going to explain what that is on the other side. And what's coming up on the game is brought to you by San Francisco International Airport. More of your thoughts on Blake Snell going to the Dodgers, plus Warriors taking on the Thunder tonight. We got all that coverage right here on 95.7 The Game leading up to the game, plus tip-off at 7 o'clock with the great Tim Roy. And we got more thoughts on the 49ers taking on the Buffalo Bills. And it's going to be a potential blizzard on Sunday night in Buffalo. Get all your thoughts on that on 95.7 The Game.
What up, what up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to The Morning Motherfucking Rose with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
I'm feeling great. We got Thanksgiving tomorrow. It's Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky. It's got the extended cross Jover, as we call it today, Joey. How you doing, bud? You feeling good?
I am feeling good. You know, it's funny to me, like, some of the rhetoric from Giants fans, like, I want to know what they want. Like, on the real, like, I've seen, like, a lot of, like, fake justification. Well, I mean, Blake Snell didn't really fit here. Well, what? An ace who's a lefty who is, like, yes, will he get hurt? Absolutely. All these pitchers get hurt. Is it rife with risk? Absolutely. Every pitcher contract is rife with risk. But I feel way more comfortable giving Blake Snell money, who's been in your system, who your doctors have touched and seen up close, than giving like a Yamamoto or someone from Japan, sight unseen, $300 million.
By the way, as we're talking about Blake Snell reportedly agreeing to a 5-year, $182 million deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
It's a huge
you
deal.
Checked out that rotation. Oh my God.
Read it off to me. Walker Buehler, Yamamoto.
Well, I don't even know if Buehler's going to be back at this point, but you got, well, first and foremost, I think Shohei Ohtani's going to be pitching next year. And when he's on, he's a top five pitcher in any league.
Yeah. I'm skeptical after the second Tommy John, but keep going. No, you're right. You're
Yamamoto,
right. He is dynamic.
You got Yamamoto. You've got Buehler potentially come back. And Buehler, I think his stock rose exponentially after that, what he did in the playoffs. I thought he was huge for them.
The guy from Tampa. What's his name?
Glasnow.
Thank you.
Made of Glasnow, as I call him, because that's what he is most of the time. But he's good when
he's
not hurt.
Dynamic.
Killian Murphy also is what I call him. Red Eye. Great movie. And then you got, Blake Snell. And you got, obviously, you got other names. You got Gonsolin in there. You got Dustin May. Yeah. Ginger Guard.
Great nickname.
And then they got Miller. Shelby Miller, right?
Yep.
So, is that Shelby Miller? Is that another? No, I'm not.
Bobby Miller.
Thank you. Shelby Miller's the other. That's Dave Stewart's guy.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm looking at it this way. Like, everybody's up in arms about the Dodgers, and I'm going to tell you right now, like, I'm wearing my dad's Giants coat right now. I like being the David to their Goliath. I really do. No, I really do. I think we're in like a no-lose situation right now. You can't mess this up. Just continue to plow ahead. Now, did I want them to sign Blake Snell? I did. I wanted the Giants to risk the money and spend $200 million on the lefty pitcher. He was awesome this year. And if you had him and Logan Webb at the top of your rotation, you're not asking as much from a Birdsong or a Harrison. Like, we see how this goes. Pitchers are up and down. They get hurt. It's fragile. You're going to need 7, 8, 9, 10 starters throughout a regular season, so you can't have enough. And that being said, like, I look at the Dodgers, and clearly their time is now. There's no doubt. No one is arguing that. They got Mookie Betts. They got Freddie Freeman. They got Shohei. They have Yamamoto.
They might get Juan Soto still. That's the other piece to all this. Like, if they get Juan Soto.
But from a Giants perspective, you're not one big signing away. To me, you need to chip away. It's like you're sculpting something. And it starts by nurturing the guys you do have, the Harrisons, the Birdsongs, and the Ramoses, right? The young guys, the Bryce Eldridges, who has been skyrocketing through your minor league system. And then the guys that you know are not a part of your immediate future, You need to have the cojones and you need to trade them away and get yourself something of significance. You're not a move away. You're many, like a multi-pronged approach. It's layers of moves. So you start with like a Camilo Duval, who clearly you have soured on, who doesn't want to be here. Him and Luciano, who clearly you guys don't even know what to do with, which is fine. You package those young guys that you don't necessarily like, and you get something. I don't know what those things net you. And then you continue to chip away. You continue to build your farm, and you continue to try to make shrewd moves, like a Matt Chapman on a one-year deal, and then re-signing him to a big deal. Like, I like the Chapman move. That was smart. You surrendered a second-round pick to sign him, or a third-round pick to sign him. You got him in. He had a really good year. You sign him to an extension. I know third base is locked up for the next 5+ years. I like that. Like, I like that a lot. And I know it feels bleak this morning for Giants fans. Like, I get it. I understand feeling like the rich got richer, because they did. The rich did get richer. But your window's not right now. You got to just keep chipping away. You're not one splashy move away. And so I would take the Tampa Bay approach and all these other teams, Minnesota Twins, the Milwaukee Brewers. These teams, year after year, reinvent their rosters and they find a way. Keep the guys we like, flip the guys we don't like. So when I found out this week that Mike Yastrzemski was coming back, it's like, come on, guys. Like, we know what Mike Yastrzemski is. He's a serviceable big leaguer.
Yeah, it didn't bother me. It's just whatever.
But it signals you're doing the same thing to a lot of the fan base.
Well, we'll see, because as you pointed out, they're not one move away. In baseball, you're never one move away. It's rarely that happens. Football, the one player can make a huge difference. Basketball, obviously, but there's just so many damn players in baseball. One pitcher is not going to make the total difference. But I do think making a move, a splashy move, and adding someone of value, someone with a big name, would just be huge for the psyche of a fan base. Like, sometimes you have to think about that. And you guys have talked about on the show, I wouldn't be opposed to it. What's Mike Trout doing? What? Why not go after a guy like Mike Trout? The Angels don't know what they're doing. They just sign a bunch of players with the huge contracts. They got Yusei Kikuchi. He's not going to do jack bleep for them. We all know that. They always do. They always get like the cinder guards. Mm-hmm. Some of these pitchers that are over the hill. They've been trying to find pitching for the last 20 years. And God bless Ron Washington, their manager. I love him. We love Wash here. Obviously with the A's. He was with the Rangers. Obviously lost to the Giants back in 2010 in that World Series. Next year lost going up against the Cardinals. But why not just inquire? You got the guy there now, Manasian, who obviously made his bones with the Angels.
His brother's there.
That's what it was. Made his bones with the Brewers. His brother's over with the Angels now. So there's some sort of a relationship there. Why not go get a Mike Trout? But here's what Farhan Zaidi had to say in regards to not trading Blake Snell. As we're talking about Blake Snell signing a 5-year deal to Los Angeles Dodgers, this was Farhan Zaidi back in the summer after the trade deadline on what it would have taken to trade one Blake Snell.
Trading him would have changed the course of this season, where we still believe in what we can accomplish. And again, you know, leaning into our youth, leaning to our rotation is really the plan. So someone really came to us with something we thought could really change our future, you know, then, and you're making that sort of trade-off of the present versus, you know, 2026, 2027, you know, that's challenging. But again, I think the way things have come together, this rotation, it was really going to have to be something that we thought would do just that, just like really change the course of future years for this organization and not just be sort of a package of prospects that, you know, would slide into this slot and that slot on your Baseball America list, you know, and that just didn't happen.
God, he sound checked out right there, Joe Shasky. That was former president of baseball operations, Farhan Zaidi, this past summer on why they didn't trade Blake Snell, who now is going to your rivals and is probably going to go back-to-back champions with them, because that's just what happens in La La Land. They'll probably get Juan Soto, too. And you mentioned something, Joe. You said it's David versus Goliath now. Well, that's the unfortunate part, because you used to view them as your equals, right? They were... you're just rivals. It was Goliath versus Goliath. You won all those World Series. It was the hated Dodgers. It was the hated Giants. Mm-hmm. This rivalry goes back to New York. And now you're like the third rival in your own division. It's the Padres they view as your rivals now, not the Giants. It's the Diamondbacks more so than you. The Diamondbacks are more of a rival than the San Francisco Giants. Come on. That's what's frustrating me about that if I'm a Giants fan right now. We just lost the luster of our team. We used to be a once proud franchise winning three World Series. That's a decade ago. That might as well be 20, 30, 50 years ago at this point. And by the way, tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. Warriors taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight, but right now we're talking about the San Francisco Giants.
You know, it's just, I get where you're coming from, and I understand that. And a lot of Giants fans are like down in the dumps today. But the reality is, did you really think you were competing this year? Like, honestly, this year with the Dodgers? No, I didn't. But that being said, you can still make some headway. Like, you have some pieces that you can move and get another player. Like, right now, you were talking about Yastrzemski. He's the seventh highest paid Giant on next year's roster, right? That's unacceptable to me. And he's only making $9 million
a year. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, that's why I'm not as mad at Yastrzemski, because you're paying him $9 million. Just shell out some more money.
But on this team, like, it's Chapman, one more year of Robbie Ray, Jung-Hoo Lee, Jordan Hicks, this is in order, Logan Webb, Tyler Rogers. Yastrzemski is the third highest paid, quote-unquote, position player on the team. That's scary. You need to go get someone else. And so that's why, like, I'm going to package some of the guys that I have, and I'm going to go make a move for an established player.
What's coming up? The game is brought to you by the Inn at the Tides. Picture yourself in a cozy room by the fire, enjoying breathtaking views of Bodega Bay. Joe Shasky, this time of year is magical at the Inn at the Tides. Special midweek rates start at just $159 per night. Book your escape now, innatthetides.com. More of your calls, more of your texts. Mike in Michigan, I see you. We will get to you on the other side. 888-957-9570. We'll put a bow on this Blake Snell conversation to this Los Angeles Dodgers. Obviously was a Giant last year, but he goes to the hated rival Los Angeles squad down there who are World Series champions. Once again, 888-957-9570. Plus, we're going to get into the 49ers. Massive game this Sunday. I don't think we're talking about the weather enough in this game. It's going to be a snowstorm potentially on Sunday night. It's going to look cool, but is it going to feel cool for the 49ers fans watching this game? Because you go to Lambeau, it wasn't a fun time. It's like that South Park episode, when you pizza, when you shoot a French fry, you're going to have a bad time. Yeah, might be a bad time for the San Francisco 49ers again, but we've seen that all season long. So we'll get into that, plus the Warriors taking on the Thunder tonight. Anthony Slater, 8:30 on 95.7 The Game.
Come on, man, you got Larry June in the building. You listen to the Morning Roast, and we're doing numbers, man. Good job, Morning Roast. Sock it to me. Hey, 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 hey.
Yee-hee. Thank you, Mr. June. Spadonian for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky, as this segment is sponsored by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. We've been talking Giants. Blake Snell heading to the Los Angeles Dodgers. We're going to put a bow on that. Mike in Michigan, I see you. We'll get to you in a second. But before we get to that, Joe Shasky, we got something special happening. Today, we've got a giveaway happening in the 8 o'clock hour. So you're going to want to be listening.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know, Michael Irvin. We're going to be giving away a Buddy Hield jersey. They're calling the Splash Buddy in the 8 o'clock hour. And when you hear this highlight, I'm throwing it to you right now, Carter. When you hear this highlight.
Moody leads Draymond away. Quick feed to Anderson. Big step to the corner. Buddy Hield release and splash! Ties the game at 26. The Warriors with four straight threes. Their last four buckets have all been threes, and they've tied the game at 26. It's a 9-0 run in a minute 48.
Thank you, Tim Roy. Be the fifth caller on the contest line. So that's during the 8 o'clock hour. You're going to want to be listening, because when we play that highlight, and I'll give away the contest line number then, 8 o'clock hour. And this is what the jersey is going to look like, Joe Shasky, because I don't know if you know this. The Warriors NBA City Editions, hey, they're wearing them tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder. You're going to see them. We're holding up right now if you're watching on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, all of those. Hey, these things are pretty freaking sweet. Look at this. Look at this. This is Stephen Curry, so we'll be doing the Buddy Hield version. Yes, we're spoiled here. And obviously, as you know, I'm a huge Steph Curry guy, huge Warriors guy, so I'll be rocking this. Maybe I'll put this on the rest of the show just to show it off.
Golden State looks good on you.
Hey, I bleed blue and gold, brother, as you know. So, yeah, NBA City Editions, and let me get my actual read here, because I got to be professional about this. Tonight, the Warriors will be wearing their 2024-2025 NBA City Edition uniforms, as of course, those are brought to you by Nike, against the Oklahoma City Thunder. The uniform, Joe Shask, I don't know if you know this, draws inspiration from the Golden Gate Bridge.
I do. The floor looks amazing, too, the court that they drew.
Mm-hmm. And as the full-side panels showcase the Golden Gate Bridge towers, while the shorts display the suspension cables that help support the structure. Additionally, its typeface is inspired by the historic plaque that honors those who helped construct the bridge. The team has also unveiled a custom City Edition court, as you just mentioned, which design features wood treatment to show the Golden Gate Bridge surrounded by fog. I like these ones a lot better than the San Francisco Giants ones, I'll tell you that right now. The uniform tips off the second year of the City Calls, presented by Rakuten, a campaign rooted in celebrating San Francisco's iconic landmarks. Last season, City Edition uniform launched the City Calls campaign, celebrating the 150th anniversary of San Francisco's iconic cable cars. The City Edition uniform is available now at Warrior Shop, located in Thrive City, and online at shop.warriors.com. So there you go, Joe Shasky. Warrior City Edition tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder. We can put a bow on this San Francisco Giants talk, though. Real quick, Mike in Michigan's been holding on. What's up, Mikey? How you feeling about Blake Snell going to the Dodgers? Mike in Michigan, what's up, buddy? Oh, once, twice, he gone. 888-957-9570. Well,
so there's some deferred money for the L.A. Dodgers again. $62 million of the $180 so for Blake Snell is going to be deferred. I've been talking about this all year. I think it's one of the biggest conversations. It's not just for Major League Baseball, though it hits Major League Baseball harder because it's also about the NBA. There are about 16 teams in both sports who have what we call regional sports network. And that, like for us, we have the NBC, right? That's a regional sports network. They call it an RSN, right? We have NBC Bay Area Sports, or whatever it's called. What is it?
We got NBC Sports Bay Area.
NBC Sports Bay Area.
And NBC Sports California.
Right. Well, around the country, there's this thing called Bally's, all right? Or Diamond Sports, which is what its company name is. And it went bankrupt. And so imagine 16 teams in both sports, baseball and the NBA, that were relying on revenue from that television TV deal. And they were building that in to how they would structure their salaries, right? In the NFL, everything is national. The only thing that you get local are the preseason games. So everybody takes the full pie of money and they divide it amongst every team. The Jaguars on the TV money get the same amount of money as the Niners. The Cowboys are giving the same amount of money as the Raiders, as the Tennessee Titans, etc. Well, in baseball, there's a regional sports network, and they divide some pie up on national money, but their amount of national money is nowhere near what the NBA's is and nowhere near what the NFL's is. So they rely on these regional sports networks. About 10 years ago, the Dodgers created their own channel, okay? It's called Spectrum Sportsnet LA, and it netted them over a 25-year period $8 billion. $8 billion.
So the Dodgers created that one? I know the Lakers play on there too. So like they encompass all the LA squads. Okay.
And they signed a deal with Time Warner. All right. And so,
They took the, not to cut you off, the Yankees path, because they have the Yes Network,
exactly,
obviously too.
And the Mets have Nesson and Boston Red Sox have, what is it called? Not Fenway.
Masson, right?
Masson. Yes. Yeah. So there's a handful of teams that don't want to split that money up. They don't want to go national. They want to stay right where they are because they have a tremendous amount of money. And everyone's like, well, and I agree with this, like, it's a little unfair that the Dodgers and the Yankees and the big brands have their TV thing so locked in stone, and so, like, they know exactly how much money they're getting from TV for the next 15 years, right? The Oakland A's. Part of why the Oakland A's are in Sacramento is because they could still do a deal with NBC California. And they could still get some of that TV money. If they were to go to Vegas, they would have to rework the entire deal and it wouldn't be anywhere near it. Because again, these regional sports networks are antiquated. So everybody's screaming about the deferred money. I don't think the problem is the deferred money. In the NFL, they defer money all the time. Think about the Brandon Ayuk contract. He's getting certain guarantees spread out over many years. Now, for most of these guys, it's the life of the contract. But in many cases, you'll see a guy still get paid and he's not on the roster roster anymore, right? You see this all the time. Russell Wilson's still getting paid by the Denver Broncos. He's not on the roster, okay? He plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So the deferred money, I know everyone's losing their mind. It's not that big of a deal to me. What is a big deal to me is that it's just not equitable. And what ends up happening is you have the haves and the have-nots. So, for example, Juan Soto, there's really only about 7 or 8 teams that can even begin to entertain a contract when it comes to Juan Soto.
And I think that's been cut down to like 5 teams because they had the initial meeting, right? And now he's even cutting down more teams after that. So.
Right? In the NFL. Like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers gets to choose where he wants to go. But conceivably, all 32 teams could afford Aaron Rodgers. Right? You don't have that in baseball. So we are broken. And what's going to end up happening, and it's going to take some time. It's going to probably take about 4 or 5 years. You're going to see they're going to break up and splinter all these regional sports networks, and they're going to have to package this thing national. And it's the only way that the Tampas and the A's and the Twins and all these smaller market teams are going to be able to compete financially. And they need to have a salary cap floor. You need to have a floor so that everyone can compete, and you need to have some sort of a ceiling. Like, they have to figure it out. I don't know what that number is, but they have to figure it out. Because right now, there's no middle class in Major League Baseball, and you have a team like the Oakland A's, and they're saying our payroll is going to go over above 100. I'll believe it when I see it.
Respectfully, Joe Shasky, they're the Athletics now. The Oakland wants
to. I'm sorry, what did I say?
You just said Oakland Athletics. They're not.
My bad. It's just the apologize. I don't mean to trigger you.
No.
That's really, I'm sorry.
You're not triggering me. I was actually just saying that.
No, I know, but I feel that.
Tongue in cheek.
That sucks. I'm sorry.
It's like Justin Timberlake in... what was it? The Social Network? Where he's like, drop the in the Facebook.
I thought it'd be like T.O. It's tongue in cheek.
Yeah, there you go. Me and T.O. actually have a lot more in common than you'd think. Deli Boy, what's up, bro? How you doing?
Deli Boy wants to join
on this Giants talk.
Carter,
turn it on. Oh, yeah. It might not be turned on. That was might be the problem there on the pot. So there you go.
Deli Boy, we got it.
What's up, Deli Boy?
You guys can hear me? What's up, guys? I was just getting that message last night and seeing Snell go to the Dodgers just put a knot in my stomach. You know, it frustrates me because you can't blame him to go to a winning franchise. You know, he wants to win. I get it. But this is Farhan screwing us one more time by not trading him at the deadline, and we're getting nothing for him. We could have gotten something for him. We weren't going anywhere in July. We weren't going anywhere in August. Why didn't we trade him? Oh, I don't know, because Farhan said, after one Robbie Ray start, we have the best rotation in baseball. And then what happened? We went tanked. We just stopped. We should have just traded him like that. And Joe, I agree with you. I think it's time for MLB to start implementing some sort of salary floor. Now, if teams want to spend like crazy,